Let us pray. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit, that the words we read on the page might become living words in our hearts and lives as we encounter the grace, love, and peace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our epistle reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches our hearts, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Jesus, like Angie said, was tired. He had been preaching parables along the Sea of Galilee on the shore, which is really just a giant inland lake. So he had to move into the boat to teach from the boat because the crowds were so big. And I imagine it was a really full day. So let's listen to what comes next in the Living Word from Mark 4, 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushions. And they woke him up, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. May your spirit blow through us and rock our boats this morning. Amen. We know a thing or two about unexpected storms these days, both literally and figuratively. Floods abound in the Gulf from Tropical Storm Bertha. Our text to stream this worship is recovering and limping along from a lightning strike, and the power outages seem to have become a more regular thing. The other storms in our lives seem to have ramped up too. The foundations on which we count, the infrastructure of our lives seem shaky, assaulted by storms whipping all around us. Can we trust the foundational things? What do we trust in these days? No, really. Stop for just a minute. Who do you trust? The world leaders? our government, national or local, our news. I'm almost afraid to ask, church leaders? Hopefully your friends and family, maybe? Doctors or pharmacists? The grocery store? Lettuce? The ground beneath our feet is shifting in ways that have thrown us off. Our basics have floundered. We sometimes think that we would have had more faith than those disciples in the boat. We would have trusted Jesus, right? They lived on the lake. They were at a minimum familiar with the Sea of Galilee, if not dependent upon it for their livelihood. What is going on in this boat? The disciples were still at the beginning of their ministry with Jesus. They had seen enough to expect him to be in control, to expect the miracle. However, they too were ones who were defining what a miracle was, what their expectations, what their hopes were. Waking him up and frantically asking Jesus, "Don't you care? We're gonna die!" Surely this powerful man that they were following cared enough to protect them. This is not the time for a nap. Jesus rebukes the wind and the rain, not the disciples. I think he realized that in spite of everything that they had seen, that the parables had taught them, they really weren't ready yet. They were working on their faith, just like us. Working on what Jesus wanted them to see. They didn't quite trust yet. Why are you afraid? What was it that shook their faith? As fishermen, several of them would have regularly worked in boats, and it would have been common for storms to rise up while they were out. It was likely more than that going on here. We often talk about the comfort of renewing waters in our baptisms, welcoming us, cleaning us, renewing us, the living waters. It is an important part of our faith. But the Old Testament and ancient world would have also had another side to water. It's never as cut and dried as we might want it to be. Biblical imagery has both sides too. Water was seen as chaos, the chaos that God divided and brought control to at creation. It is also seen as a force to be reckoned with, representing destruction or maybe even evil. The deeps were feared, and maybe even in mythology that was common in that day, seen as the entrance to hell. Mastery over water shows God's power, parting of the Red Sea. Mysterious and awesome, power of the forces of nature. On the other hand, nothing comforts me more than to go to the beach, to water, to a waterfall. The ebb and flow of the tides, and the imagery and the beauty of that comfort, the wonder of the creation that God brings for us. Do we expect God to overcome the powerful gale and to calm our storms? Looking at this contradiction versus the human tendency to try to box everything in and wrap God up in our definitions is the root of how Jesus is presented in Mark. Jesus asks the witnesses, "Don't tell," every time he performs a miracle in Mark. Could this be because he knows that the miraculous miracles that we see, and the ones that we want, are smaller than what's really going on, than the real miracles? What we want's really kind of puny to the amazingness that God does. Could the mystery that Mark surrounds Jesus in and the parables that he speaks about prod us and push us to change? Push us into a radical trust of God and in one another? Could it be asking us to expand our expectations and quit limiting God? In the words of David Luce, God desires that we trust that God is with us and for us, and thereby live in courage and hope. He says, taking chances, risking ourselves in relationships, seeking the welfare of the individuals and community around us, all while remembering that even when we overlook God's presence, yet God is always here. Do we trust God is with us? Or are we fleeing God when God defies our expectations and calls us to risk? When God wants us to journey to and with strangers, or maybe even the enemy? A parallel to this scripture is the Old Testament story of Jonah and the whale. Jonah, who so resisted God's call to go to Nineveh that he ran in the opposite direction. Are we sometimes doing that? I think so. He too slept through a storm until the sailors begged him to pray to God. But these verses from Mark don't have something as big as a whale to wake us up and get our attention. What we see is still fear-inducing. It's an amazing God-sized power. The disciples wake up Jesus. And he commands peace. I think Angie's example was perfect. Did you hear how fast this congregation went silent? Imagine that. But then instead of rebuking the disciples, he's rebuked the nature. And then he gently asks them, "Do you still have no faith?" And that little Greek word that's translated faith is also trust. Confidence, belief. Don't you trust? Hardly the reaction that the disciples would have been expecting. Powers that usually sit in their displays, and they, if you have that power, you sit up tall and you say, "Look what I did. I have control of the oceans." Napping Jesus and his gentle questions defy expectations. The disciples are dumbfounded, struck in a deeper fear, not paralyzing terror, but more like an awe, a little bit humbling. This God who travels with us, what does that mean? What they're beginning to understand about Jesus, he's riding through the storms of our lives with us, staying by our side no matter what. As we journey through our storms today, do we expect the wrong miracles? Are we like the disciples in the boat, crying out to God, "Wake up, save us, do it for us, when I know how to row a boat?" God's power looks different. Rather than dominate the storms and solve all of our problems and take control, God's power is of emptying. Of taking on the form that draws closer to us, that empowers and transforms us. A miracle that is a mysterious paradox of having by giving, ruling by serving. Rather than a master fixer, God is our master of compassion, relationship, and presence. Holding a covenant of another Greek word, koinonia. Relationship, togetherness, a covenant with us, with all of creation, love, communion. That little Greek word carries a lot too. This koinonia is the true power of God. As David Roberts says, God's power is not in miraculous interventions, preemptive strikes in the cosmic war of suffering and evil, but in inviting us to build a kingdom and love, peace and justice with God. God's power, he continues, is not in obliterating what is bad in the world, but in empowering us to build something good in the world. So don't sit back and wait, wondering, why isn't God active in our world today? Open our eyes and change your expectations of how God is in the world. Our God can stop all storms, but instead leads us in new directions, in a small boat, showing us how to be together. God empowers us to transform the world and to be transformed. God on the journey, tossed by the waves of our own making, yet still in that boat with us. Rather than the Messiah who rode in on the donkey, one who napped uncomfortably, crammed up in the front of a boat in a storm, we can't help but look for that grand image, the dominion and power that we want to see in a Messiah. Over and over again, Jesus shows us with his life that being together in steadfast love for other, a love that doesn't let go, is the most amazing power. Jesus redirects us and points us toward each other, toward the stranger, and asks us to imagine bigger, and asks us for trust. The miracle is Jesus with us, Jesus empowering us. Embrace that power. How can we begin to trust each other and in Jesus? Through our care, we can show the world that Jesus is with us, all of us. Imagine a world where every child can trust in the next meal. Trust in home with a place to rest. Trust in safety. Trust in healing and wholeness. Imagine radically a world where trust is enough that all guns are silenced. Nobody is unseen and nobody lacks respect or bare necessities. A world where every difference is honored as part of a welcome palette of God's beautiful creation. Trust today. No, we're not there yet. But do you trust? Do you have faith? Expect a different miracle. God's kingdom one step at a time. Our boat, our care, it's not too small. It can hold every child starting right here. Show the world what trust in Jesus Christ can do. No storm can withstand God's love and compassion. Be the miracle with God always by your side. Even in our fear and trembling in awesome things that our God can do, we must trust Jesus enough to follow, knowing our lives will never be the same. Come, join me as we follow Jesus, pulling together for all of God's children. Amen.